24 square miles, forcing another 1,000 people out of their homes in a town northwest of Colorado Springs. In Denver, Brenda Stewart, Fox News Radio.
The Coast Guard is ending its search of a cargo ship in New Jersey without finding any of the stowaways that they suspected were inside some of the containers on board. Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
They're chasing the leads for UFOs.
Our first stop is to meet with an eyewitness.
And they're chasing the lights.
Look at this!
But what they're really chasing is...
That looks like a flying saucer.
The truth.
Now we're on to something.
Friday on the National Geographic Channel, it's Chasing UFOs, a new series that shines a light on the unknown.
Did you see that?
Wow!
The unanswered.
I want to find out where they come from.
The unidentified.
What the hell was that?
Chasing UFOs premieres Friday at 9 on the National Geographic Channel.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services. It isn't just your mammogram. It's your teenager's first varsity game. It isn't just your annual exam. It's your daughter's wedding. With the healthcare law, you may now have preventive benefits with no insurance copays or out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at healthcare.gov. Because it isn't just today's blood pressure screening. It's all those tomorrows you want to see. Healthcare.gov. Better health is in your hands.
The Supreme Court is starting to hand down decisions. The first one of the day, though, is not health care reform. That is still a little bit later on in this hour that we're expecting that ruling from the court. And we're seeing selling on Wall Street ahead of that. Fox Business Network's Dennis Neal is here live.
Stocks take a tumble after 2 days of gains. Pick your fear. The European summit, the Supreme Court on Obamacare, and tepid economic news all spooking investors. The Dow now down 89 points, but initial jobless claims fell a bit more than expected last week. 30-year mortgage rates stayed at the lowest level ever, and the Commerce Department confirmed its estimate of 1.9% GDP growth in the first quarter, although exports and consumer spending grew less than estimated. And it's now official. News Corp, parent of Fox News Radio and its siblings, will split itself into separate print and electronic media companies. Dave?
Dennis, the price of oil, a little bit on the decline today, under $80 a barrel. Gas is a penny cheaper. AAA's national average for regular, $3.37 a gallon. Bernie Madoff's brother could join him behind bars for being part of the massive fraud case. Peter Madoff expected to plead guilty today
to conspiracy and falsifying records in connection with the multi-billion dollar fraud case that sent his brother to prison. Peter Madoff, the former chief compliance officer at the private investment arm of his brother's business, has agreed to serve 10 years in prison. He's also agreed to the criminal forfeiture of $143 billion, including all of his real estate and personal property. Bernie Madoff is serving 150 years in prison after revealing he cheated thousands of investors out of about $20 billion for years. Lisa LaSera, Fox News Radio.
The NBA draft is tonight, and Anthony Davis, who just won a national championship at Kentucky, is expected to go first.
It's what you dream about, you know, your whole life, and now that it's here, it finally hits you.
The New Orleans Hornets have the number one pick, and again, the big decision from the Supreme Court on health care reform still not in yet. I'm Dave Anthony, Fox News Radio.
AM 1460, WVOX, and WVIP HD4, New Rochelle.
I never thought I had it in me. I always wanted to do more for my community. It turned out to be one of the best decisions of my life.
Is there a fire in you? Go to www.fireinyou.org and find out what it takes to be a volunteer firefighter, to be the one running in when everyone else is running out. Not only do you get the satisfaction of helping others, but you get free training, tuition assistance, and other great benefits. Take the first step. Volunteer at fireinyou.org.
Brought to you by the Firemen's Association of the State of New York and funded by U.S. Department of Homeland Security.
Weather forecast for you Thursday, calling for skies to be sunny. It's going to be warm today, not as warm as it's going to be tomorrow, not as cool as it was yesterday. So temperatures mid to upper 80s. The breeze will be strong out of the west by northwest. And we'll keep our temperatures generally in the mid to upper 80s during the afternoon hours, all with bright sunshine. Just some fair weather clouds. A frontal system currently across the central Great Lakes will be arriving in the area and basically just represents some scattered showers and thunderstorms. And actually, the air behind it dry and hot. Temperatures tomorrow will range in the mid to upper 90s. After some scattered showers and thunderstorms, looks like hot weather continues into Saturday to end the month of June. Sunday, we see another frontal system arriving, and that could cool things down, but we still have highs in the lower 90s. Possibility of some scattered showers and thunderstorms with that front on Sunday. Then Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of next week, temperatures generally in the 80s with fair skies. In the meantime, though, for today, it's going to be sunny and hot, highs near 90, west winds. Tonight, partly cloudy, that chance of showers overnight, lower 70s. A chance of showers and thunderstorms early on Friday, then sunny and hot, mid to upper 90s. The heat index is tomorrow, combining temperature and humidity, upper 90s to the lower 100s. It'll be partly cloudy on Friday night, nighttime lows near 70. Mostly sunny, hot, and humid weather, 90 to 95 on Saturday. Sunday, mostly sunny after some early showers. So showers early on Sunday, then mostly sunny. Highs will reach 90, then temperatures only in the mid to upper 80s on Monday and Tuesday of next week. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide and WVIP HD.
Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather is brought to you on WVOX Worldwide by Entergy and the Indian Point Energy Center, right for New York.
Every day, New Yorkers depend upon the clean and reliable electricity provided by Indian Point. On an average day, Indian Point provides about a quarter of the electricity for New York City and Westchester at lower cost than other power plants and helps our efforts to improve air quality. You have a right to know the facts about Indian Point, because when talk turns to extending the licenses of these plants, we all need to remember how important Indian Point is to New York. For instance, did you know that without Indian Point's lower cost power, our electric rates would be much higher, and that an equivalent gas-fired power plant would pour millions of tons of pollutants a year into the air we breathe, and that the independent experts in charge of New York's electric grid have said that the city could face rolling blackouts without Indian Point. I'm Teresa Motko, and I'm an engineer here at Indian Point, and my family and I live in the area. All of us have a right to know why Indian Point is right for New York. Visit rightfornewyork.com for answers.
From the historic city of New Rochelle, home of Andrea McArdle, Don McLean, Kathy Wilson Conroy, and the Sound Shore Medical Center of Westchester, the great and growing hospital for you and yours.
Hello, New York. This is Bill O'Shaughnessy, and this is the spot. This is the place on the radio dial. Welcome once more to your own WVOX, the most influential station in New York State, for you and yours. A labor of love every day, I can tell you, and every night at 1460 and WVOX.com, now broadcasting all over the world.
The voice of Westchester, 1460 WVOX.
Good morning and welcome to Environmentally Sound. I am Bob Levinsohn, your host for the series on the natural world, education, and culture, and chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. We bring you guests from diverse disciplines, scientists, activists, authors, educators, entertainers, and public officials. We seek to stimulate your curiosity, intellect, and passion. Today's news from the natural world. Today is Thursday, June 28th, 2012, the 9th. Day of summer, and it's going to be a scorcher, my least favorite weather. I prefer cold winters to hot summers, but a little moderation in either one is fine. We have lost 1 minute of daylight since yesterday, 9 minutes since last we met 1 week ago. That's the way it goes in the summer. You start losing time. We've gained 11 minutes, however, on balance since last we met 4 weeks ago, and we have exactly the same minutes of daylight as 2 weeks ago. That's because we were halfway to summer 2 weeks ago. Thanks to John Harper for filling in for me my last scheduled show 2 weeks ago. I was on a cruise to Alaska, and I was to have called in. I apologize, John. Seattle was just too busy, and I didn't do it. But John did a great job, and thank you again. The sun rose 5:26 this morning. It will set at 8:31 this evening. We will have 15 hours and 5 minutes of daylight today, as opposed to Alaska, where it was about 20 hours of daylight. The sun was still not shining bright, but it was still on the horizon, quite visible. The sunset was like 10:30, and the sun was to rise somewhere around 4 a.m. So that's the way it is as you get north in the summer, south in the winter. The moon will rise at 3:01 this afternoon in about 5 hours. It will set at 1:36 tomorrow morning. We are 1 day past first quarter, and the next full moon is July 3rd. Our next our next high tides. Okay, I was distracted for a moment. Forgive me. In New Rochelle, 6:23 p.m. Yonkers, 4:58 p.m. Tarrytown, 5:42. And in Peekskill at 6:21 p.m. Those are our next high tides. As you may know by now, the healthcare law is being reviewed by the Supreme Court. The decision is being handed down today. They ruled against the individual mandate, as you may have heard, and there will be much more at Fox News when we take our break. Thanks again, John Harper, for filling in for me while I was on the cruise. I met a naturalist named Brent Nixon, who actually sailed with Jacques Cousteau. He will be on this program in December. I think it's December 13th. A musher named Matt. He races the Iditarod dogs across the tundra of Alaska, 1,000-mile race with dog teams. We saw and petted the dogs. They were very interesting. And also a gentleman named Aaron. He's a professor at the University of Alaska, and he's a glaciologist. So he'll tell us what about the receding glaciers and what it means. All three will appear in the coming months, and all three will be great interviews. Now our regular feature, names of American service members who have lost their lives at war. May they live on in all of our hearts. Lance Corporal Hunter D. Hogan, age 21, of Norman, Indiana. He was with the 2nd Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province, June 23rd. Lance Corporal Neil W. Cotesiers, age 23, of Arlington, Virginia, with the 1st Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand on June 23rd as well. Lance Corporal Eugene C. Mills III, age 21, of Laurel, Maryland, with the 2nd Marine Division, also killed in Helmand Province. This was the day before, on June 22nd. Private First Class Stephen P. Stevens II. Somebody please tell me what the difference is between the 2nd and junior. If anybody knows, call in. Stephen P. Stevens II, age 23, of Tallahassee, Florida. He was with the 1st Marine Division, killed in combat in Helmand Province, also on June 22nd. Major Paul C. Volke, age 36, from Monroe, New York, right up the road here. He was with the 3rd Infantry. It was a non-battle-related injury in Mazar-e-Sharif, Afghanistan, on June 22nd. Specialist John David Meter II, age 36, of Columbia, South Carolina. He was with the South Carolina National Guard. He was one of 3 soldiers killed when a suicide bomber detonated an explosive device at a military checkpoint in Coast Province on June 20th. The other 2 killed in that same incident were 1st Lieutenant Ryan Davis Rawl, age 30, of Lexington, South Carolina, and Sergeant 1st Class Matthew Bradford Thomas, age 30, of Travelers Rest, South Carolina. All were with the South Carolina Army National Guard. Sergeant Jose Rodriguez, age 22, of Gustine, California, with the 2nd Infantry Division, killed by small arms fire in Kandahar Province, June 19th. Private First Class Jared Allen Lallier, age 20, of Spokane, Washington. He was with the 82nd Airborne, killed by three individuals in Afghan police uniforms who turned their weapons against his unit in Kandahar Province on June 18th. Staff Sergeant Nicholas Charles Fredstee, I guess that's it, Fredstee, age 30, of San Diego. He was with the 82nd Airborne Division, killed by small arms fire in Ghazni Province, June 15th. Sergeant Joseph Michael Lilly, age 25, of Flint, Michigan. He was with the 2nd Infantry. He was wounded on the 12th of June. He died on the 14th. Wounds were received by a roadside bomb in Kandahar Province, June 12th. Sergeant First Class Barrett Wambly McNabb, age 33, of Chino Valley, Arizona. He was with the 2nd Infantry Division, killed by a roadside bomb in Kakrez, Afghanistan, on June 12th. And finally, Private First Class, and you know, I get pictures from the site that gives me this information. This is such a baby-faced boy. In fact, he looks almost like a girl. That's how baby-faced he is. He died. You know, he was 20, and he was killed by a roadside bomb in Coast Province. Name is Private First Class Nathan Tyler Davis, 20, from Ucapa, California, with the 25th Infantry. And, you know, it's just kind of tears at your heartstrings when you see the pictures as well as hearing the names. These 14 American servicemen were alive when last we met 4 weeks ago. Lance Corporals Hunter D. Hogan and Neil W. Cotesiers died just this past Saturday, which was the day I was returning from my Alaska cruise. Such different lives we lead. When I served in the Army, it was during the Vietnam conflict years ago. I did not see combat. I can't imagine what combat is like. But here we are broadcasting again. But what is happening over there? We overeat. We indulge ourselves in so many ways. These 14 died so we can maintain our lifestyles. American men and women are at risk at this moment. Please don't forget they're there. We would be nothing without them. War would be on American soil without them. Think of them. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts, and may this feature come to an end in the very near future, because there are no more deaths to report. Each death is a great loss to their families and to all Americans. May they live forever in our hearts. Time for the Culture Corner. My reviews of plays, movies, opera, ballet, museums, what have you. Keep in mind, these are my opinions. You have the right to disagree with them, because everyone has the right to be wrong, but you're lucky. Nothing to report today. We will be seeing Clybourne Park on Broadway this Friday. We'll report on that in 2 weeks. Just a quick note before we introduce our guest for the day. The Supreme Court upheld at least some of the law. We're looking at the monitor, and it looks like the individual mandate was upheld, which is something of a surprise, a pleasant surprise. Much more when we break to Fox News. But before we take our first break, I'd like to at least introduce my guest today is Dr. Philip Lau. He's Distinguished Professor of Chemistry at Purdue University in West Lafayette, Indiana. And Dr. Lau does more than just teach students. He is a cutting-edge researcher in health issues, most notably cancer. His work is revolutionary, promises to change cancer treatment and potentially cure many patients who otherwise would die. And let me preface the interview in this way. As regular listeners know, I'm not given to extreme statements, nor am I a tout for random claims. That having been said, just briefly before we take a break, welcome Professor Philip Lau.
Good morning, Bob. Nice to hear your voice.
Good morning. It's good to talk to you. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back, and then we'll have the rest of the hour.
Good.
Okay, you're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. I am Bob Lovinsoul. This program is Environmentally Sound, and my guest is Dr. Philip Lau, and we will be back in just a moment.
Business news at 20 minutes past the hour, every hour. Here's the latest update from the Fox Business Network on WVOX Worldwide.
From the Fox Business Network, Wall Street's kicking off the trading day in a sea of red. Disappointing news on the U.S. economy is weighing heavily on the markets. Skepticism the European summit would agree on concrete measures regarding the region's debt crisis is also taking a toll. At 10 a.m. Eastern, the Dow is down triple digits. Though fewer Americans joined the unemployment line last week, jobless claims remain elevated, a sign of muted growth in the labor market. 386,000 people filed for first-time jobless benefits, slightly more than what economists had forecast. But jobless claims have been below the 400,000 mark for 24 straight weeks. And the U.S. economy expanded at a slower pace during the first 3 months of the year than initially thought. The final government reading on the gross domestic product, or GDP, increased 1.9%. That was in line with the second reading and Wall Street's expectations. With the Fox Business Report, I'm Diane Macedo.
Opportunity Louisiana. More and more companies like CenturyLink, Nucor, and Gameloft are finding success with Louisiana's custom fit solutions. Here's Gameloft's David Haig.
Louisiana customized their approach in recruiting us to meet our very specific needs. Selecting Louisiana as our site for expansion allowed us to open 3 to 4 months sooner than we anticipated.
What can Louisiana do for your business? Find out at OpportunityLouisiana.com.
From morning.
Great to wake up to in the morning.
To evening.
Working late at the office.
Thanks for making us your number one VOX.
1460 WVOX.
We are back. This is Bob Levinsohn. My guest is Dr. Philip Lau of Purdue University. First, I'd like to just know what weather is like in different places. What is it like in West Lafayette this morning, Dr. Lau?
Well, we're forecasted to have weather exceeding 100 degrees.
Oh.
This is very unusual for this part of the country, yeah. So we're not looking forward to it
no.
at all.
I think it's similar here. It's already warm, but I don't look forward to that. In fact, I wore a jacket to work this morning, and the station manager said, "What are you wearing a jacket for?"
Yeah.
So I guess it's off now, and it'll stay off. All right, let's get right into your work. Your work targets specific cells, cancer in particular. Now, from what I understand of it, let me give my analogy, and then you get to shoot it down or agree with it. You send a ballistic missile with a chemical warhead into a patient and come up with very specific hits to targets, almost like a drone attack on enemy positions at war. These are surgical strikes. The missile, in your case, is called a ligand, and the warhead is either a therapeutic or imaging agent. Now, is that analogy fit, or am I waxing too poetic?
No, that's actually a very excellent analogy.
Cool.
I wish I could record it and then use it online.
Oh, feel free.
Use some
it.
Of my explanations. But
feel free.
Yeah, I mean, we're designing what we view as smart medicines, like I think your analogy to smart bombs. And we've been worried for years about the toxicities associated with lots of medicines today. We're all familiar with the problems with chemotherapy. Patients' hair can fall out. The patient is often nauseated. The immune system can be suppressed, and the patient can be subject to opportunistic infections. And this is simply because a good drug goes to the wrong cells. It goes to healthy cells as well as to diseased cells. And our focus has been to try to design what we call targeting ligands that can carry an attached drug very selectively to the cancer cell. Or
now, this is revolutionary, is it not, Phil?
Well, to some extent it is, yes. The use of monoclonal antibodies to carry attached drugs has been moving forward concurrently with our research. But in general, therapies throughout the ages have been administered orally or injected, and they distribute indiscriminately into all cells of the body and cause damage to healthy and your pathologic cells alike, and so, what we're trying to do is change that.
So how do you deliver them? Do you not deliver it through injection or orally?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, we still have to follow the usual routes of introduction into the patient.
Right.
But once the drug enters, then we have a homing molecule attached to it that knows exactly where to go, and it basically piggybacks the attached imaging or therapeutic agent very selectively to the diseased cell.
So maybe this is just asking with too fine a point, but is it the agent that locates the cell, or is it the greedy cell, which is greedy for the nutrient, that snaps it up before a healthy cell gets it? Which way does it go, or is that a distinction without a difference?
Well, I think they're more or less the same. What we spend most of our time doing is trying to find something that is unique or different about the disease cell. If it's a cancer cell, what is it that the cancer cell is doing that none of the other cells in the body are doing? What particular protein or other molecule is present on the cancer cell that will be absent on the adjacent healthy cells? And then we try to design a homing molecule that will bind to that. Now, in some cases, as you infer, just a moment ago, we try to exploit the greed of the cancer cell for, say, a specific molecule. One of our more well-known homing molecules, or targeting ligands, if you will, is the vitamin folic acid. This vitamin is required to make DNA, and rapidly dividing cells like cancer cells need to make lots of DNA. And so their requirement for folic acid is significantly elevated over healthy cells. And we take advantage of this avarice for the vitamin by linking toxic drugs to the vitamin and delivering those attached toxic drugs.
That's very cool. And I believe you said 40% of all cancers can be treated this way?
Roughly 40% of all cancers overexpress or express at a very high level an uptake pathway for this vitamin that is absent in normal cells. So this gives us an opportunity. Now, the other 60% do not, so we've got a long ways to go.
Sure, but 40% is still a dramatic percentage. That's, not almost half, it's 40%, but it's a lot of people are going to be helped with this kind of therapy. Now, is it so that since the normal cell does not use the folic acid or the folate, it just doesn't take it up at all, that it's not toxic at all, even if the cancer cells were not snapping it up?
No, that's actually an excellent question. And we're getting a little technical here, but in simple terms, there are three pathways for taking in the vitamin. And normal cells use two of these. The cancer cell goes one step beyond and uses this third pathway. And the third pathway turns out to be a much more efficient pathway that can capture the vitamin when it's present at very low quantities. And so many cancer patients are folic acid deficient. And under those conditions, with this additional pathway, the cancer cell will find a way to get the vitamin, but the healthy cells will be robbed of it because the cancer cell is so much more efficient at taking it up.
Well, that's what it does. It's a greedy cell. Now, but it's not just cancer that you're working with either. Staph infections, rheumatoid arthritis, some immune disorders, multiple sclerosis.
Yeah, that's correct. Well, after seeing some success in the area of cancer, we decided to ask ourselves the question, are other disease cells any different from their adjacent healthy counterparts? And indeed, we found that almost all disease cells have unique features, and if we can just begin to identify those, then we can use those as Achilles heels and selectively eliminate those cells. And so we've found ways very specifically destroy a cell, for example, that's infected with influenza virus or one that's responsible for rheumatoid arthritis and so forth. So, I mean, we can go into details if you wish.
Well, after the break, sure. Yeah. But it sounds to me as if this is just revolutionary treatment and it will revolutionize medicine. But let's leave that as a cliffhanger for our listeners after the break. And the listeners are sophisticated enough to understand some of the technical stuff when it's in such an interesting subject. So not to worry. You can get a little bit technical. You're listening to WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. If you're listening in Juneau, Alaska, Wisconsin, or Pennsylvania, there are Junos in all of them, Anchorage, Sitka, or Nome, Alaska, Berlin, Connecticut, New Hampshire, New Jersey, Wisconsin, Ohio, Maryland, Massachusetts, Pennsylvania, New York, Georgia, or North Dakota, Michigan, or Wisconsin. There's a Berlin in all of those. Or Berlin Heights, Ohio. You have logged on to www.wvox.com. You're listening live. I am Bob Levinsohn. My guest is Professor Philip Lau of Purdue University, and we will be right back.
World and national news three times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
This is a Fox News alert. I'm Ron Flatter. By a 5-4 vote, the Supreme Court says the requirement that every American have health insurance may go forward as a tax. It's part of a complicated ruling on the President's Health Care Act, the majority opinion written by John Roberts.
This is the key line from the Chief Justice's opinion. The Affordable Care Act's requirement that certain individuals pay a financial penalty for not obtaining health insurance may be reasonably characterized as a tax. Because the Constitution permits such a tax, it is not our role to forbid it or to pass upon its wisdom or fairness. That language from the Chief Justice sounds pretty clear that under the power of Congress to tax, that under that particular reading, this survives.
Fox's Shannon Bream outside the Supreme Court. The court also okayed expansion of Medicaid, but not to penalize states that choose not to participate in that part of the act. This is a Fox News alert.
The most innovative and groundbreaking local transportation service is now here. The Green Team Cab Corporation in New Rochelle. The one and only Green Team Cab Corporation features all new 2011 super luxurious hybrid cars that really make you feel like you're being driven in style and comfort. The Green Team is perfect for all your corporate needs. A trip to the airport or just a ride anywhere locally. Call Brian Herbie or Mr. O'Mara today at the Green Team Cab Corporation in New Rochelle for a new kind of luxury transportation experience second to none. We love the Green Team and you will too. 914-576-1200 in New Rochelle, 576-1200. Credit cards accepted in the car, no minimums, no forced gratuity. 576-1200, the Green Team, now the most innovative and superior way to travel. The Green Team, saving the planet one ride at a time.
And now with your latest up-to-date forecast, here's Steve Pelletieri's Eye on Weather, exclusively on WVOX Worldwide.
Our Thursday morning forecast calling for clear skies to start, sunshine, and hot today. Highs will range to near 90. West winds at 5 to 10, gusting to 20. For tonight, it'll be partly cloudy for the evening, then clouding over overnight with the possibility of some showers or even some thunderstorms or nighttime lows in the lower 70s. We may start off with some showers on Friday, but it becomes partly sunny, hot, and humid, mid to upper 90s tomorrow. West winds gusting to 20 miles per hour continues through the afternoon, and at night, partly cloudy down to near 70. Mostly sunny and hot, 90 to 95 on Saturday. Sunday, the open up July with sunshine, a chance of some showers with their highs near 90. I'm meteorologist Steve Pelletieri for WVOX Worldwide, WVIP HD.
From morning.
Wakes me up every morning and keeps me going all day.
Till night.
I listen all day.
You can count on us, WVOX Worldwide.
Okay, we are back. I am Bob Levinsohn. You're listening to Environmentally Sound on WVOX AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. My guest is Professor Philip Lau of Purdue University, who's working on some very exciting stuff as far as I'm concerned. Welcome back, Phil.
Thank you, Bob.
Okay, now we're talking about other uses for your technologies, which involves ligands, which let me use my previous analogy, which is the ballistic missile, which carries the payload, which actually does the destruction. I always think of cancer as being the greedy cell. It wants to grow outrageously quickly, and it wants to metastasize and spread. Other diseases don't work that way, like rheumatoid arthritis, staph infection, the ones that we were talking about, even lupus. So how does the ligand work in those cases?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, actually, in the case of infectious diseases, the ligand works fairly similarly. As soon as you get, for example, a bacterial infection, the body tries to remove all of the iron from the bloodstream. The bacteria, on the other hand, needs the iron in order to grow. It needs the iron to make molecules called cytochromes and other iron proteins. And so there's a contest between the human body and the pathogen for the available iron.
So you mean the immune system says, okay, we are going to fight this disease by withdrawing the iron? The immune system, is that sophisticated a device?
Yes, indeed it is.
Wow, cool. Okay.
As a matter of fact, if you measure serum iron content, it drops very dramatically upon exposure to pathogens, and we recognize all sorts of different pieces of these pathogens.
So where does the body hold this stuff?
It takes it up into a cell called a macrophage. There's a system that's triggered, that's regulated by hepcidin, a protein. There's other proteins involved, ferroportins and so forth, that mediate the uptake of this iron. And so
it just holds them.
It puts them in a sack. It for a short period of time until the danger is passed.
Wow. Okay, so
So the pathogen, in order to offset this, it releases a molecule. It's called the siderophore, and for those in scientific areas, it's a molecule that chelates or binds iron with very, very high affinity, higher affinity than most people can imagine, and it releases it. So it sends out this net. It casts its net into the waters. It sends this net out in to the bloodstream, which captures the iron, and then it retrieves the net. And so the bacteria has evolved to this net release and retrieval mechanism to capture this very, very precious iron that is now at very low levels in the body. And what we do is we have found a way to target this net. And so because that net is rather unique to the bacterial pathogen, and our body doesn't make anything like it, we can attach a drug to this net that is released. We can isolate it, we can purify it, we can make it in large quantities, and we can attach an antibiotic to it. And so when the bacteria retrieves this net that it thinks is carrying iron, it actually is, we're using it as a Trojan horse. It's carrying with it a antibiotic to kill it.
Well, you could think of all ligands as Trojan horses, could you not?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, they're Trojan horses, exactly.
Which is, those of you who are not familiar with Greek literature, Trojan, sometimes I mix up my Greek and my Roman, which, anyway, one of those, I think it's Greek, where the, I shouldn't start something I really can't speak about, but either the Trojans introduced a fake horse to their enemy or someone introduced it to the Trojans. In any case, they got their troops hiding inside this fake horse, and that's how they breached the fortress. I know that much.
Yeah, you're right, and that's what we're doing.
That's the important thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, now you have a couple of businesses also which you've started, because Purdue University is not a business organization. So you do have a couple of businesses. They're called Endosight and On Target,
yeah.
And On Target.
Yeah.
And these are both publicly traded companies.
Actually, On Target is not. It's privately owned. But Endosight traded on the NASDAQ.
And has it been doing well?
Yeah, actually, it's been doing very well.
Very well. And it's not even, your protocols are not yet accepted for general use, and it's still doing well. So at such time as all of this is approved, am I speaking correctly? It's still in trials?
Yes, that's right. The Endosight's lead drug is in the last phase of approval. It's called phase 3 clinical trials.
And if it passes that, the stock should really take off, because the product will then be in wide use, I presume.
That's correct.
Okay, so this is a good time for anybody who's interested in stocks to take a look at a company called Endosight, E-N-D-O-C-Y-T-E. As I am looking at it, I'm not trying to sell anybody anything. We're not making any profit here, but I'm excited about it. And Professor Lau, Phil, sounds like a very on-the-money, serious researcher. So anyway, that's just my take on all this. But what it says about, you have something called an SMDC, small molecule drug conjugate.
Yeah.
And these are the ones that actively target receptors that are overexpressed on disease cells relative to healthy cells. Is there something there to talk about? Because I don't quite understand it.
Well, a conjugate is really a two molecules linked together by a spacer. And so we design all of our molecules with this targeting ligand, the homing component, as you've described, the smart bomb. And then the warhead itself is either an imaging or a therapeutic agent. So the imaging agent, when we link the imaging agent to this smart bomb and we inject that into a patient, it homes in on the disease cell. If it's a cancer, it homes in specifically on the cancer tissue. And then it lights up the cancer cell. So in the case of a radio imaging agent, one would use an imaging instrument that can image radioactivity, and one would look and see exactly where the cancer is in the body. And the virtue of this is that if we first lead with the targeted imaging agent, we can tell whether the person's cancer has the receptor that we can use for delivery of the homing molecule linked to a therapeutic agent. And so it allows us to avoid treating patients that won't respond, because if we see the uptake of the imaging agent, then we know that when we link the therapeutic drug, that it will also go to the same receptors in the same cells, and we'll be able to deliver a therapeutic warhead very selectively to these pathologic cells.
Okay, so there are basically two things you can do. You can either highlight, image these disease cells with a fluorescence or a whatever it is, or treat them with a with an actual therapeutic drug. Now, if you can light up these cancer cells and yet you don't have a chemo agent that will actually destroy the cells, does this then at least make it easier for a surgeon when they're in there cutting out the main tumor to see where it is beginning to metastasize and not miss anything? I mean, is that useful in that area as well?
Well, that's an excellent question. This is actually one of the areas where we are currently conducting clinical trials. We have linked fluorescent dyes to these homing molecules, and in a routine surgical procedure, the patient is injected a couple of hours before surgery. The homing molecule locates to the cancer, and then the residual fluorescent conjugates are excreted in the urine. Then when the surgeon opens the patient up and begins to look for malignant tissue, he or she can readily identify the cancer tissue because it glows and it, like a light bulb.
That alone, even if there was no chemotherapy available at all, that just, I imagine, I mean, you always hear about how, well, we think we got it all, but in this case, if there are little bits and pieces of a tumor that are beginning to migrate to other parts of the body, if they're still anywhere local, you can actually see them and cut those out too.
Yeah, that's correct. Actually, I'm very excited about this application.
And, yeah.
We have collaborated with a surgeon by the name of Go Van Dam over in Holland, and now we're performing these clinical trials at Mayo Clinic and at the University Excellent. Of Pennsylvania Medical Center and a few other places here in the United States. And to date, they've been able to remove 5 times more malignant masses with the aid of this these tumor-targeted fluorescent dyes
Fantastic.
Than they were able to previously without this assistance.
Fantastic. Phil, I'm just going to ask you, since you have so much to say, to not trail off at the end of your sentences, because I'm missing a little bit. And,
okay.
And you are, I don't want to miss a single word. I will be right back with you in just a minute. You're listening to AM 1460 in New Rochelle, New York. This is WVOX. If you're listening in East, West, or Southampton in Long Island, actually, our signal may actually reach out that far. Yakima, Tacoma, or Walla Walla, Washington, Boynton Beach, Miami, Florida, or Fort Lauderdale, Florida, or Cucamonga, California, you have logged on to www.wvox.com. You are listening live, and we will be right back.
World and national news 3 times an hour. Here's the latest update from Fox News Radio on WVOX Worldwide.
This is a Fox News Alert. I'm Lillian Wu. The justices have spoken on health care reform, but outside, some say,
this is not over!
This after the Supreme Court upholds a key part of the president's health care law, saying the individual mandate stays, but as a tax.
This is a key line from the Chief Justice's opinion. The Affordable Care Act's requirement that certain individuals pay a financial penalty for not obtaining health insurance may be reasonably characterized as a tax. Because the Constitution permits such a tax, it is not our role to forbid it or to pass upon its wisdom or fairness.
Fox's Shannon Bream outside the courthouse dissenting.
Justice Scalia, Kennedy, Thomas, and Alito. So the Chief Justice turned out to be the swing vote here.
The court did find problems with the law's expansion of Medicaid. This is a Fox News Alert.
Is lack of sleep affecting your job, your personal life, even your health? Do you wake up groggy and irritable? If you're one of millions of people who have occasional problems sleeping, taking prescription drugs is not the answer. Now there's a safe, effective, natural solution for healthy sleep called Lights Out. Lights Out contains a proprietary blend of vitamins and herbs that help you get back into your natural sleep cycles, where your body can rest, replenish, and rejuvenate itself naturally, so you wake up feeling refreshed, alert, and ready to take on the day. Right now, you can get a free 30-day supply of Lights Out by calling 888-456-6834. Just pay the small shipping and handling fee, and you get to try Lights Out free for 30 days. Get great sleep with Lights Out for free. Call 888-456-6834. That's 888-456-6834.
Now, the most timeless songs of the 50s, the 60s, and the 70s are together. Time Life proudly presents the Music of Your Life collection.
Make the world go away.
150 romantic classics.
Chances are, 'cause I wear a silly grin the moment you come into view.
You'll hear all your favorite artists. Nat King Cole, Johnny Mathis, Patsy Cline, Andy Williams, The Platters, Bobby Vinton. You'll also get an exclusive 32-page booklet, including photos and stories about the artists and their music. And it all comes in a deluxe collector's box.
To get your Music of Your Life collection, call 1-800-359-7790. That's 1-800-359-7790. Or go to musicofyourlife.com.
This is Dr. Barry Perlman, Director of the Department of Psychiatry at the St. Joseph's Medical Center, with campuses in Yonkers and at St. Vincent's in Harrison, inviting you to listen to our new show about mental illness and mental health, entitled Getting Well, Staying Well. It will be aired on the fourth Wednesday of each month at 11:30 in the morning. I hope you'll join me and my guests for this informative new program. Again, it will be aired on the fourth Wednesday of each month at 11:30 a.m. right here on WVOX Worldwide.
This is the authentic voice of the people.
It's a community station.
AM 1460 WVOX.
The voice of Westchester. WVOX.
Okay, we are back. We are speaking with Dr. Philip Lau of Purdue University, who's got some very dramatic treatments for cancer and other diseases as well. I notice, Dr. Phil, that not Dr. Phil. That was an unfortunate juxtaposition. I have less respect for him. On Target was just incorporated at the end of 2010. That's still private company, but Endocyte was went public just last year, the winter of 2011. So this is a new, it's not a new company. I think you've been doing this for about 15 years, right? But but it's just gone public. Okay, I just thought I'd get that in. And I noticed that one of your titles with On Target is Chief Science Officer. So when I read that, I immediately thought that you are Mr. Spock. Okay, enough frivolity. When I first became aware of your work, I said, "Whoa, this looks like a cure for cancer." But I asked you that, and you said, "You didn't quite make that claim." Why don't you address the question? Is this a cure for cancer?
Okay, there are always limitations with every therapy. One can deliver the right drug into a cancer cell, and the cancer cell can develop resistance to the drug, and so obviously those patients that develop the resistance will not respond, and it won't be a successful treatment for them. Cancer cells are mutating constantly. Some of the recent data in the literature suggests that an average cancer cell may have up to 3,000 mutations per cell, and so these mutations that remain are generally those that add to the fitness and the survival of the cancer cell.
So is this in any way akin to recombination among viruses? It's not a virus or a bacteria that we know of, right? So what's going on with the DNA there?
Well, one of the things that the cancer cell has to do to survive is it has to be able to adapt rapidly to all the chemical bombs we throw at it. And so very early in the process of developing a cancer cell, it learns to make mistakes in copying its genome. So it really actually develops an ability to mutate rapidly. And it also suppresses those enzymes that are present in healthy cells that eliminate cells that begin to make these mistakes. And so it loses the ability to kill itself when it misbehaves. And as a consequence, it has the ability to avoid a lot of the therapies that we can throw at it.
Well, is that how you would characterize just regular mutations in evolution, in evolution, mistakes?
Well, they are mistakes initially. They're not designed, they arise as a consequence of a mistake somewhere in the copying process.
Okay, but let me just take issue with that briefly. Just the word mistake, I mean, this is probably a semantic issue. I think of mutation as being as feeding evolution and not being mistakes at all, but a process.
From that more global perspective, yes, we've got to stand and applaud this process that allows for mutations and betterment and improvement constantly in our species.
Right.
But then you have to recognize, Bob, at the same time, that probably 99.99% of these lead to worse performance rather than better performance. And so,
Sure.
It's just that rare one that happens to be better that sticks and is fixed.
But that's what it is. Otherwise, we'd be willy-nilly changing. We'd be walking down the street turning into dogs and cats and bears rather than staying human.
Heaven forbid.
Well, I just don't know. I don't know what's better anymore.
Yeah.
So the cancer cells actually, they mutate, and they mutate differently from others. Other cells. I mean, we don't
much
notice
more rapidly.
Yeah, we don't notice generation to generation the difference in humans, even though the slow creep of evolution is with us, and we're all a little different. And if we pass our genes on, of course, that's the process. But you say with the cancer cell that happens almost immediately, instantly in response to treatments, as do bacteria and even viruses.
Yeah,
well, viruses don't mutate, they recombine. But
you get vaccinated for a different flu every year. These guys are mutating constantly, and it's their means of survival. If they didn't mutate, we would be immune to the viruses and bacteria, and would actually also avoid the cancer.
And our immune systems have to, it's almost cops and robbers, right? Our immune systems have to evolve in response.
It's a tit for a tat, constantly. Constantly changing and adapting.
So that which does not kill us makes us stronger, kind of.
Well, hopefully in many cases,
Okay. I wanted to ask you a personal question. I noticed that you went to Brigham Young before University of California. Brigham Young is in Utah, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Is it automatically a Mormon school? Is everybody there Mormon? Is
that... No, 90% probably are. I am. But there are a good number that are not, and they're welcome there also.
Yeah, I just noticed that. I didn't reason for me to ask the question. I get curious sometimes. And
sure.
Who knows. Okay, so I also noticed that such what we would consider, certainly not life-threatening, but maybe mundane is a word, even though sufferers don't feel it. Even psoriasis is listed in the conditions that can be treated by this. How does that work?
Well, one of the major cells responsible for psoriasis is a cell called an activated macrophage.
Yes.
And we have found a receptor that this activated macrophage expresses that the normal resting macrophage that performs a lot of the housekeeping functions in the body does not express. And we have exploited this overexpression on the surface of this activated macrophage that releases a lot of the inflammatory mediators that cause psoriasis. We have found a way to target that cell and selectively suppress its inflammatory properties. We don't kill it, we just turn it off. We turn it back into a a resting macrophage.
So really, the sky's the limit. Is there any kind of disease or type of illness that you look at and you say, now there's no way we can treat this? Are all diseases on the table now?
Well, theoretically, yes. I mean, they wouldn't be diseases. They wouldn't be a disease cell if they weren't different from a healthy cell. And so the process involves really very carefully scrutinizing the genome, scrutinizing all the proteome, the metabolome, everything that the cell does to find some distinction that you can attack. And that's what we do.
Very interesting. Okay. Dr. Philip Lau, we're very happy to have you on. Anybody who would like to Google Dr. Lau, his name is spelled L-O-W. It looks like low, but it's really Lau, at Purdue. And you can see how to get in touch with him. And perhaps if you want to research the stock more, feel free. Okay, Dr. Lau,
yeah.
Phil, thank you so much for being on. And I do wish you a lot of success. And I'll keep an eye on your companies.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure speaking with you, Bob.
Pleasure has been mine. I'd like to thank Dr. Philip Lau for taking the time to visit with us today. For as long as I can remember, cure for cancer was an elusive dream. Now, as Dr. Lau says, it is not necessarily imminent because of the nature of the beast, but research which is truly promising is proceeding apace. So we'll keep an eye on Dr. Lau's research, report back at such time as developments warrant. Anything dramatic happens, we'll have him back on. Our thought for the week, principles only mean something if you stick by them when they are inconvenient. Stay tuned to WVOX, your quintessential community radio station, flagship of Whitney Radio, the best small station in the U.S. of A, maybe even the world. Next up, I guess Howard Stern is not here, so I don't know what's up next. I am Bob Levinsohn, chronicler of the demise of Homo sapiens. Thank you very much for listening, and remember to be kind, for everyone you meet is fighting a great battle. You are here. It is now. Health and happiness to you all.